is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll free. Bring up anything you want. 1-800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. 800-259-9231. We're launching into another week of fun here. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Dale.
And Mark.
All right. And, of course, you can take control and bring up anything. That is the point of the show, so feel free to do that at your leisure. 800-259-9231. As we will take your calls about whatever's on your mind. That's the point of the program. Now, to start things out here tonight, I'm going to give you an update on the historic trial of a Free Stater. Now, Free Staters are people that have made the move to New Hampshire, as the three of us have done, as part of the Free State Project. We decided that it's a really great idea to get together with other like-minded, liberty-oriented people so we can get active and hopefully achieve some semblance of liberty in our lifetime. Now, it's a project. Means that there's a lot of work to be done.
It's ongoing.
Also, it's also a lifetime project, which means that it's going to take a little while.
Take some patience.
Yeah. And so sometimes when we're out and about doing our activism thing, which varies everything from getting involved in politics to non-cooperation to civil disobedience, media, outreach, all kinds of different things.
Different things for different people.
Right. Sometimes it can be frustrating when we run up against roadblocks, governmental, you know, enforcement, governmental ignorance, people that have been indoctrinated by the government to think certain things. It can be frustrating. Today was one of those days. We told you in detail about what happened at the Jim Johnson trial last week. To sum it up, Jim was arrested for a criminal trespass, so-called, as was Dale. You and I were both arrested in that group of 12 people that were all arrested at the same time. About nine of us, I think, actually went to trial. Eight or nine of us went to trial. They had to drop some charges because of, I think, people had arrived, I guess, after three people or so arrived after they allegedly told everyone to leave. So there was no way, there'd be no way they could have heard the order to leave those folks. They had their charges dropped.
Absolute administrative, incompetence when it came to this, the way the law enforcement officers perpetrated this whole event.
So, yeah.
In fact, they weren't even there for the event, which was like a rally, sort of a morale rally for the prisoners, and in particular one of the prisoners. And so they were there to visit someone, and they just got caught, you know, they got caught up in the fervor of the arrest at the time.
They, meaning the government?
The people who were released immediately, you know, who were released and didn't get trials. It was realized that they weren't even there for the rally. They were there for other reasons.
So they ran through with about eight or nine different cases. Dale, you and I actually had our cases combined together with a couple other folks.
At our objection, written objection.
Yeah,
we filed a motion saying, I want my own trial. I think I deserve a separate trial from everyone else.
Seems unconstitutional to me.
And if you look at the end of the, if you just watch the tail end of the trial, you can see that, in fact, there was incredible bias that happened due to our trials being all merged together.
Well, of course, there was incredible bias that led to this happening in the first place, because anybody else, they would have treated differently. If the cops show up and you are ostensibly trespassing on someone's property and they've told you to leave, the cops will tell you, in most cases that I've been involved in,
leave.
If you don't leave now, you are going to be charged with trespassing. In our case, Dale, they immediately arrested us. On site, immediately arrested us.
And we were out in the parking lot talking about where we're going to go for dinner. We were about to leave.
We were done.
We were done and about to leave, and that's when we got arrested.
And so all of us were arrested in the same group. We were all doing pretty much the same thing. But yet, the nine or so trials that occurred had vastly differing results.
Well, not to mention they had vastly differing charges.
And judges as well that were involved. And, well, the charges were all originally criminal trespass of the misdemeanor flavor. But Jim Johnson's trial was first. His bench trial, where you're just up against the judge, where it's just the judge, the prosecutor, and you. His was first back in August. He was found guilty of misdemeanor trespass. He immediately decided to appeal. And that's why he went to trial this past week in front of a jury. But when we came up a couple months later, Dale, you and I's trial and everyone else's trial, we ended up being found guilty of not misdemeanor trespass, but violation level trespass, which they dropped at the very last moment of the trial. They dropped the charge down.
Which we could not defend against.
Which, right, they didn't.
Because it was based on a different charge. I mean,
correct. The charge provisions are different.
The charge, well, the specific charge against us we defended against, and the judge ruled that the prosecution had failed to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. So yes. That sounds like not guilty, right?
Right, but then the judge goes ahead and charges you.
He came up with a new charge,
he
a violation
that.
Level.
That's and, not his job.
And his verbiage.
He did.
Verbiage, you know, you can watch this video if you don't believe me.
Freaking
watch the end
YouTube
of the video. And his verbiage was that the behavior was disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Walking
not
around
illegal.
Jail.
Disturbing.
Disturbing.
Walking around a jail which has no fences whatsoever, no physical barriers preventing anyone from doing such
and
an action.
And you guys had marched around jails across the state many times.
I can just right off the top of my head recall three different jails where we've done this and had no incidents whatsoever. No one telling us we had to leave. And in fact, one time we had an escort. We had a police escort. We said, and he was really polite. I said we told him we're going to walk around the jail and we're just going to walk around it. We told him that, and he's like, okay, well, let me know when you're going to do that, and I'll come with you just to make sure that you guys don't having trouble, right? Like it was for our benefit, you
Which
know.
Which jail
protect
was
us.
That?
This was when Lauren was in jail. Where was it? I can't remember exactly. It wasn't
It wasn't the
Valley Street Jail in Manchester. It was a different one.
It's been the federal.
And so he escorted us. He drove slowly around as we marched around the jail.
Oh, I remember seeing. I think I remember seeing video of that.
Yeah,
that was a while back. Yeah.
And nothing happened. We weren't told that we had to leave. He was just like, you know, I guess he was concerned that we might do something crazy, and we didn't intend to. We never have. Yeah. We've walked around many jails and never, like, busted any windows in, never tried to break in. Nothing weird.
So,
and in this case was no different, and they knew it. They knew it, because, again, we have never caused any trouble.
So back to the disparity. They found us guilty, you and I, Dale, of, and a couple other, few other folks, of violation-level trespass. At the last moment, a few other folks after that, because there were still more trials to come after our trial, they dropped the charges to violation level trespass before they even started the trial, if I'm recalling correctly. And another of those individuals actually was found not guilty. So even though we were all arrested in the same group, we were all standing together, we all had done basically the same thing, walking around the building, waving, smiling at the prisoners. The bureaucrats' excuse for arresting us was that we were riling could have riled the prisoners up.
Could have. They did not claim that actually happened.
Right. If you want to call it riling them up, that they smile and wave, or give us a peace sign, or, you know, then yes, I guess we riled them up, but I don't see what the big deal is. I just called that a morale boost, and that's the problem.
That's what they don't
want. They call it riling, but what they don't want is for their morale to be boosted and for them to get encouragement from someone outside who supports them and doesn't necessarily feel that they should be in there.
Right, to
certainly
know
not
alone.
The nonviolent, no-victim people. The
Which
people
the jail is filled with,
It's filled with, it's probably at least two-thirds people in there who did not, whose so-called crimes did not have a victim.
So, all kinds of disparities in the trials, inconsistencies, but only one of the 12 ended up being convicted of misdemeanor trespass, which means only one of the 12 could possibly appeal that to a jury, and that was Jim Johnson. He did that. Last week it went to trial, and we've got the full trial footage. It's just I haven't taken the time to put the video together yet. That's my fault.
It's going to be a lot of footage.
It is hours and
hours.
What's
wrong with you, Ian? It's been already like 12 hours. Not quite, but
it takes,
you know,
like a year to put a movie together, you know?
So it's going to come eventually at freekeen.com. You'll be able to see exactly what transpired. And, you know, so he's guilty. I don't think I mentioned that yet. The jury came back after deliberating for almost 2 hours on Thursday. The jury came back this morning, reconvened, and returned a verdict relatively quickly. Like, apparently what happened, according to one juror, we did interview one of the jurors on the way out on camera, so that you'll also be able to see. If we get a chance, I'll play it on the air here tonight, but he curses in it, so I have to make sure we clean it up. He said that what happened was on Thursday evening, or Thursday afternoon, when they were wrapping up for the day, it was 8-4. Eight people wanted guilty. Four people wanted not guilty. Over the weekend, he says that people changed their minds, came back in, and then relatively quickly, unanimously decided to go for guilty.
Wow.
So our friend Jim Johnson
has
been
reluctant.
Convicted.
The guy you interviewed, I saw him when they said, does everyone agree? And he was like, he's slow to answer, and he kind of shook his head, and he finally said, yeah.
He was very contradictory in his answers to us regarding why he did what he did. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
You've heard the saying, one good thing leads to another. It's true, especially when you're talking about CentOS. Choosing CentOS for your company's rental uniform leads you to the finest service, quality, and innovation. And now it leads you to popular Carhartt branded apparel. That's right, CentOS, the leading provider of rental uniform programs, and Carhartt, the premier brand of retail workwear, have partnered to bring you a new and exclusive offering. It's the Carhartt Rental Workwear Program, only from CentOS. You'll enjoy CentOS's weekly pickup and delivery, professional cleaning and repairs. You'll look good and feel good wearing comfortable Carhartt branded apparel. You'll wear Carhartt to work, and CentOS will do your laundry. The Carhartt Rental Workwear Program is exclusive to CentOS. It's easy to get started. Have your company go to CentOS.com for all the details. That's CINTAS.com. CentOS, the uniform people.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. LeCig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeCig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig, for today's modern smoker.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
Take control of the airwaves. Dial in toll free and bring up anything you'd like at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-800-259-9231. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Dale.
And Mark.
All right, so don't forget you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com to enjoy features like our archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, you can just click and download right there on the front page of the website. In fact, the last 7 days' worth there at the top of the site. Then click into the archive section to go back for years, back to late 2006, all for free at freetalklive.com. Thanks to HostGator.
Hostgator is a worldwide leader for web hosting. They make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and templates. They've got more than 4,500 templates. Whether you want a personal blog or complete e-commerce business website, let the experts at hostgator.freetalklive.com host you. You'll get a 99.9% uptime guarantee, a 45-day money-back guarantee, and 24/7 technical support if you use Hostgator. And if you use the portal that we've created for you, hostgator.freetalklive.com, you'll get your first month completely free. Don't use our portal. Don't get the first month free. Hostgator.freetalklive.com.
All right, so we're talking about the historic trial of the first free stater, so-called, the individual who made the move to New Hampshire in order to work toward more freedom.
Jury trial.
In their lifetime. Yeah, excuse me, first jury trial. And that wrapped up today after spending, by the way, the entire day on Thursday. I was in that courthouse from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Thursday. They tied up an entire courtroom for virtually the whole day. And this is a courthouse where there are only two courtrooms.
This should have been dropped. It was silly. I mean, when the courts are backed up and it's such a silly charge for such a silly activity, this should have been dropped long before it got that far.
But they pushed ahead and went forward, and they got their conviction. The jury returned a guilty verdict after a few hours of deliberation, and it was just so sad and so disappointing because it seems so clear that, First Amendment right to assemble, public property, protest.
And again, a reasonable doubt. There's no doubt. Obviously, there was reasonable doubt.
As to whether or not Jim was notified to leave.
Yeah. And it's just a shame. I really hope that, I would hope that the word gets out to the jurors that now that it's not, you know, it couldn't come into the trial. But I hope the word gets out to the jurors that for all the other people who had trials, eight other people, it was ruled in fact that we were not sufficiently told to leave. And so he's the only one who got a jury trial was the only one where it was actually determined that he received sufficient, sufficient notice to leave.
And interestingly, even in this interview, the individual we're interviewing actually kind of reveals that he had reasonable doubt. So
he just wanted to go. And, you know, I mean.
But I don't get it, Mark. You would be able to go if you said, I'm not budging.
Right.
Not guilty.
Not budging, yeah.
You know, this is the dynamics of groups.
Yeah, there's a lot of peer pressure in that jury.
And this is what, you know, is so difficult for people to understand. I mean, your friend, I'm not going to name his name, but he was on the show, I think, at one point. One time he hosted with us, and he knew all about jury nullification. He was a casual marijuana user himself. He was on a drug trial, understood that that person hadn't done anything. And he himself succumbed to the pressure of the jury.
He sure did.
The other people on the jury. The fact is, group dynamics are incredible. When I'm at the town meeting, and let me try to describe what a town meeting is to people. It's the only form of democracy in America. Everybody in my town goes to a place. It's the school. And they sit in an audience, and things are brought up that on which we need to vote. And if they're not of sufficient cost value, they will just talk about them and you vote. You voice vote. Mm-hmm. And if the voice vote sounds close, then they'll come to a regular vote. I can't tell you how many issues where it's been all in favor say yay, thundering yay. All opposed say nay, me, nay. It's hard. It is difficult.
But there's not even how that.
No, there's not a single another one over again.
No. I didn't get my statement out. But in that point. On that point, there's not time for deliberation. You're just voting. You're saying that even
people
in an instantaneous vote,
people can come up ahead of time. See, that's the other part about these group dynamics. Do you want me to go up on every single issue and talk to people about how taxes are theft and how demanding this or that is threatening their neighbor?
I don't know.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it over and over again. I don't have the intestinal fortitude to go up every single time and give these people a lesson.
Because they'll hate you.
And indeed they will. More.
And they'll hate the person that that is a holdout in a trial, I would imagine, as well.
Absolutely.
You're keeping us from going home. Well, no, I'm not. We can just hang this jury. Look, if you think he's guilty.
That judge will send that jury back to unhang. It happens. It happens.
Go to hell. Times. I'm not unhanging. I am firm on my belief that this man should not have been arrested.
Again, I understand what Mark's saying. I think for a lot of people, the peer pressure is very difficult.
I think you're right.
I would hang the jury and be absolutely thrilled to hang that jury if that's what it takes to keep an innocent person from being charged with a crime.
Three of us in this room are spoiling for that fight.
Rather.
We're
right.
looking for that particular confrontation. We want that.
These people want to go home.
They want to go home. Yeah. They want to get back to their families. They want to get back to their job. They want to do their civic duty or whatever it is. And they go. I mean, I've looked at some number I saw that
he should have done what those cops said. Guilty.
Three quarters of felony jury trials in a guilty verdict. Or maybe it was two thirds. Two thirds. I think it was 76, not 67.
There's some really disturbing things in there too that the jury can't be aware of it. I mean, again, that's another thing is you get someone up there in a uniform or you get a policeman up there and everyone thinks that they're good because they got that badge.
There
on.
Was that attitude in this interview as well, like, oh, the police would know better than me.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just it. And every single one of those policemen, they definitely lied in the technical sense because that guy did not shout it loudly. There's no way.
The guard that came out to order people to leave.
The guard that supposedly told everyone to leave. And I believe that he did say for people to leave in a very timid little quiet voice where you could barely see his lips moving. They were saying that he shouted loud enough for everyone to hear. And I do believe they lied in the technical sense. I also know that it is human nature to have selective memory and to sort of, our memories can be very unreliable and such. And so maybe they didn't in their hearts lie. But every single one of those police officers came up and said that he shouted it loudly for everyone to hear. And there's absolutely no way. It just didn't happen. And then I saw the prosecution say, look, here they're responding to him. He told them to leave, and they're responding. Look, they're starting to walk the other way. But they didn't walk to the parking lot. They walked around the building.
Yep.
They didn't leave. No, and it wasn't just the 12 who were arrested. There were a lot of people who were still there and who just walked in another direction and started walking around the building. They did not leave, and so that was simply not true.
Well, that's one of the difficulties sitting in the audience at jury trials is, there's
being
Jim,
helpless.
There's Jim up there doing the best he can do in
alone.
Pro se situation, and you have the recesses to talk to him, but, the point that you made, Dale, would have been awesome for him to jump up and say, objection, that guy has no idea where those people are going.
Right.
And, it's clear and obvious. They're going around the corner. Bring us back to, section number 40.
Well, that's
40.
Just it. And he would fast forward the video at that point. But if you were paying attention before he had a chance to fast forward, you would see, in fact, they aren't going back to the parking lot. They're going around the building. And all we have to do is slow down the video and watch it. And you would see that that's the case.
How much of the video is able to be seen on our actual video footage that we took, I don't know, because they wouldn't let me pan the damn camera in the courtroom. So, anyway, we've got most of the trial. More coming up here at 800-259-9231. We'll play the interview with the juror on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench. All with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Cyclass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BIGBERKEY waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterfilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh! We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi. This is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. Bring up anything you want. Toll free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site for free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Dale.
And Mark.
All right, as we continue here, you can bring up anything you want. We are discussing the situation with Jim Johnson, who was the first Free Stater, so-called, liberty activist, who made the move to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project to face a jury trial, and also the first to be convicted at the hands of that jury on a bunch of nonsense. And in the words of one juror, he didn't think he ever should have been arrested, but he went ahead and found him guilty anyway. So we'll go ahead and play for you what this juror had to say. And at one point he says a naughty word, so I'm going to have to blank the audio out during that part. I'm going to have to do it live because I haven't taken the time to actually cut this thing up or anything like that. I'm just going to play it straight as I recorded it out
get
front.
Get your dump button up?
No, I'm just going to cut the audio out.
No, I just want to know if you get the dump button.
If I screw it up, I do have my dump button here. But this juror was kind enough to talk to us, which was good because after the trial, we went downstairs. We waited for a little bit in there to see what the sentence was going to be. And then after that, I wanted to make sure we got downstairs enough time to possibly talk to the jurors as they came out. And this was the only juror who was willing to speak to us. Most of the rest of them just kind of shuffled on their way. I'm sure they had things to do in their lives that were important. But this man did stand and spoke with us for about 6.5 minutes.
Yeah, thanks.
So here is the audio from, I believe, his name was Jim, I think, and he'll give that to us here in a moment.
What's your name?
My name's Jim.
Hi, Jim. I'm Ian.
Ian, I assume that you're sort of affiliated with the defendant in the case.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. I only got a few minutes, but
sure.
I'm happy.
She's fine. What happened in there?
In the jury?
Yeah.
So we're 8-4 on Friday.
8-4?
Yeah.
Eight for guilty,
yeah,
4 against?
And then on the weekend, we, well, some people changed their minds, and we went to unanimous pretty quickly in the morning.
Jesus Christ. Did they explain why?
Now, hold on a second. You hear somebody say in the background, Jesus Christ broke the law too?
No victim, no crime.
Now, the reason for this is because one of the people on the jury was a monk. The he was dressed
He was absolutely in full monk regalia, like straight out of the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
Every, I'm not sure if they... Do they dress like that today? I guess they
He's dressing like that today.
Well, I know he dresses like
he
that.
He's carrying a Bible around with him. I mean, this guy is a monk. And he was dressed that way every day I saw him. He had that monk's, what do you call it, a robe on, I guess?
Habit? I don't know.
Habit? Yeah, the monk garb.
I think he's got a, if I recall correctly, I didn't see him
large
really
large dangling cross.
I was going to say, it looks like a cross that'll break your back.
Yeah.
So that was actually John Bush. John Bush and Catherine Bleich were in town overnight. They came in last yesterday for Sundays, social Sundays here in Keene. They're from Austin, Texas, kind of big names in the Liberty community. They were speaking at the Nullify Now event that we attended, and I imagine Nullify Now is coming to Austin soon, as a matter of fact. NullifyNow.com. You can go to learn more about that event. So I imagine if you're going to some of the other future Nullify Now events, you might be able to see them speak. But they stayed in Keene last night, and they came out with us in the morning. And by the way, we did some sign making last night at the Activist Center here in Keene, and John Bush was fantastic. He put together some great writing on the signs. He said his handwriting was awful, but when he was doing sign handwriting, it was just super. So we had some signs. We had a bunch of us out front before the trial actually started. Before the jury arrived, we were there to show support for Jim. So we had about five or six of us holding signs like no victim, no crime, stuff like that, out in front of the courthouse, waving at people, opening the door for folks to let them in, just to kind of give one last good impression that, hey, this guy's got people supporting him. This is ludicrous. This is not a crime. You know, we didn't tell them to find him not guilty, but certainly the suggestion, I think, was powerful. But apparently not powerful enough because the jury found them guilty. So anyway, that's what you heard in the background. There was John Bush saying, Jesus, as the monk walked out of the building, kind of yelling that afterwards.
I just got to get this out while I'm thinking about it. It also bothered me that the prosecution got to ask questions about why is it important that they don't walk around the building? You know, why is it, you know, get them to explain this is a secure facility and try to get everyone scared about what could happen if you let people walk around the building, which is really silly, as I said. But Jim was not allowed to bring up that, in fact, we'd walked around three other jails on numerous occasions with no incident.
Yeah, so, all the things that you can't bring up is how they fix these things.
Except the prosecution could. The prosecution could.
So back to Mr. Juror here. Oh, wait a minute. The audio out for it.
Well, I think people were hung up on them. We went to unanimous pretty quickly in the morning.
Jesus Christ. Did they explain why that they changed their mind?
Well, I think people were hung up on the personally thing.
Personally?
Yeah, that wasn't my personal concern, but a lot of people were hung up on what... Because personally can mean one-on-one, but in this context it probably didn't. I think people thought that...
Now, the personally thing is where... essentially, in the law for criminal trespass in New Hampshire and probably many other states, it says that this warning by an authorized individual, someone who's authorized to decide who can and cannot be on a piece of property, the warning must be communicated personally. And this was one of the issues in the trial, was this communicated personally? What is the definition of personally?
Well, according to each and every cop, they did not communicate it personally. When Jim just asked them, did you personally communicate it to me? And they said no.
They said no.
Every single one of them.
Even though
so according to them, it wasn't personally communicated.
But the state tried to, I guess, vacate that by stating that, well, personally doesn't mean personally. It means in person, meaning a person gave the order. So therefore, since a person gave the order, it was communicated personally to you. And so that was essentially the position of the state. And during the deliberations, they actually had a question regarding the question of what the word personally meant. So they, you know, they brought the juries back in. The judge addressed this question to them, and he basically gave the jury the instructions that you have to decide what it means, which I thought was a
they didn't bring the jury back in. They brought the two parties back in, Jim and the prosecution.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, right. That's right. They didn't bring the jury in, but the judge explained that. That's right. The judge conferred with the two parties. He told them what his answer was going to be, asked them if they had any problem with that. They apparently said, no, there's no problem. So then the judge instructed the jury that they were to decide what personally meant. And so I guess this juror and the rest of them decided that because this man who is known for mumbling, who mumbles on the stand, nice enough guy, I like him personally, I like him as an individual, the sergeant and this corrections officer that uttered this phrase.
Right. You know, I would have handled this entirely different. That's the frustrating part about this is, you know, you see somebody.
As a defendant, you mean.
Yeah, as you see somebody that you really like, your friend up there, trying their best in this very awkward and difficult situation to defend themselves. He didn't have a lot of hope for being found not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. He wanted to get out of there quickly, and I think that he could have.
Well, that brings me up to
areas that he could have made it his defense better.
The quickness point that you bring up is something I wanted to discuss. One of the things that Jim did was, and I kind of thought this would be a good approach in advance, and now I'm rethinking. And this is, of course, what is useful about having people do these trials and us watching them and you as well, observing them, is we can learn from each other's mistakes, and hopefully we'll all do better in the future. But maybe keeping it short was the wrong idea. When Jim gave his opening statement, it was very good. It was very passionate. He made the point that he was going to try. If the prosecutor would keep it short, we could be out of here by 11 a.m. This was last week.
So he's trying to like that myself.
Throw the jury a bone. Hey, I'm trying to get you out of here.
And he also,
I'm on your side.
But no, but there was a good point, too. It was that, for sure. And I'm sure the jury is thinking, I'd like to get out of here. But more importantly, he pointed out how that this the whole arrest was over something so trivial, and it shouldn't have been an arrest in the first place. And I think that was the point he was trying to make, is that if you watch this, you'll see there's no victim. There's no security violation of the prison. There's nothing. This was a very peaceful assembly. Nothing was disrupted. It was no big deal. And they were making a huge deal out of it. And Jim was trying to say this is not the big deal they're trying to make it out to be.
Right, and he wanted to respect the jury's time. He knew that they're busy.
Yep.
He wanted to get them out of there as quickly as possible. And, of course, the prosecutor...
Apparently, they didn't respect his time because they found him guilty, and they know he's going to get time for it.
Well,
he said up to a year.
He said, yeah.
Right there in court, he said, I could get up to a year.
But the court took...
Objection! You can't say how long that we'll give you! You're not allowed to tell these people what the consequences of their freaking actions are!
But the judge said that they had to disregard that.
So what?
They heard it.
I know. I'm just kidding.
More coming up here at 800-259-9231. So should he have taken more time? Now you can tell me. It's Free Talk Live.
You've heard the saying, one good thing leads to another? It's true, especially when you're talking about CentOS. Choosing CentOS for your company's rental uniform leads you to the finest service, quality, and innovation. And now it leads you to popular Carhartt branded apparel. That's right, CentOS, the leading provider of rental uniform programs, and Carhartt, the premier brand of retail workwear, have partnered to bring you a new and exclusive offering. It's the Carhartt Rental Workwear Program, only from CentOS. You'll enjoy CentOS's weekly pickup and delivery, professional cleaning and repairs. You'll look good and feel good wearing comfortable Carhartt branded apparel. You'll wear Carhartt to work, and CentOS will do your laundry. The Carhartt Rental Workwear Program is exclusive to CentOS. It's easy to get started. Have your company go to CentOS.com for all the details. That's CINTAS.com. CentOS, the uniform people.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at ChaChingWisdom.com. That's ChaChingWisdom.com. ChaChingWisdom.com.
you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want. Dial in toll-free. Take control of the airwaves at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, and we give you the features on the site totally free. So enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. And don't forget to get registered for the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's the biggest liberty-oriented event of 2011, and it's happening this June 20th through the 26th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Same location as last time. Beautiful location. The people, though, are the best reason to go. Hundreds of other like-minded, liberty-oriented people together in the same place, having a blast, all kinds of activities, everything from agorism in action, live musical performances, panel discussions, speeches, family fun, games, camping. Man, it's a lot of fun. I even hear there's going to be a dunk tank on premises.
You're
going to
sit in it, right?
I plan on sitting in the dunk tank.
I am probably going to lose $20 trying to knock Ian into the water.
Yeah. Are you not good at throwing balls? I'm not very good.
Is this, you're talking about it? This is at the
Pork Fest. Festival.
Yeah, a Pork Fest. Okay. Because I know there's talk of a dunk tank also at the Keen Festival thing, right?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that.
Because I was thinking the Status would love to dunk Free Keeners. And the Free Keeners would love to dunk Status, and each one could be their own fundraising event.
Yeah, we could get maybe the police chief out there or something.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
Then and Free Staters would be throwing a chunk of stuff at him, and then they would be chunking stuff at Free Staters. Like,
you
oh,
go to my jail and you walk around it. You're not supposed to walk around a jail.
That would be hilarious. To get the guy out from Mumbles, to bring Mumbles out and have him sit up.
Oh, I'd love to dunk Mumbles.
So go to porkfest.com to get registered. Use our discount code FreeTalkLive with no spaces to save 20% on your early bird registration. Porkfest, PORCFEST.com. I mentioned the agorism in action. That's people selling things without permission from the government. So like food vendors vending food without a permit. I know that Mandrick is planning on being there doing his gyros and his baklava, which is awesome. And he actually happens to be here in Keene tonight and is doing that special for the activists. He's on like an advanced tour. He's going around New Hampshire. He's going to Grafton tomorrow. I think he's going to Manchester once this week, and he's actually cooking in different locations, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, that's actually going on as we speak. So porkfest.com, get registered and get up there. It's going to be a blast. If you want to be around other like-minded, liberty-oriented people, this is the place. Hundreds of people have made the move here to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a long way that we need to go. We're early on in this movement. I mean, it hasn't even officially begun yet. We're the early movers. There are only 10,600 people that have signed up. We want to hit 20,000, so we're just over 50% of the way. Excuse me, 10,700 people, last time I looked, have signed up. So we're still just over 50% of the way there. We need your help. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done. Clearly, I mean, we've got a jury returning a guilty verdict for a man who did no harm to another human being, was on public, so-called public property in a place that was completely unsecured despite the claims of the government bureaucrats. And now we're interviewing a juror as to why it is that he found this peaceful man, our friend Jim Johnson, guilty.
I think people thought that by the letter of the law, he was guilty.
Did anyone take the jury nullification information into factor? Did you
receive
that information?
It wasn't discussed. I actually didn't read that pamphlet, but I've heard about it. I've like read about it, and I didn't read it. I typically think of jury nullification as coming into play when we believe that there's an unjust law. You know, for example, for marijuana possession.
And that's where he says he thinks marijuana possession is BS.
Possession, you would have found, like if it were marijuana.
I very well may have, for example.
Now, that's not a very firm answer, is it? He very well may have used nullification on
marijuana. Well, he was trying to he was dancing around, you know, the jurors felt this and that, and he wouldn't say what he felt at any given point.
Well, I do ask him how he felt and how he voted on Thursday at one point, and he does reveal that here in a moment. But your thoughts are certainly welcome on all this at 800-259-9231. So I asked about jury nullification because we handed out fully informed jury information to this juror, to the jury pool, when they were selecting jurors a couple weeks before the trial. So a number of these jurors, I know for a fact, a number of these jurors took that information. Whether they read it or not is another question. Typically, that stuff does get read by people because you're sitting in a jury selection pool. I'm sorry?
They're bored.
Yeah, it's a slow process. It takes time. They're just sitting there. And so it's a great opportunity for them to read this information that explains to them what the real truth is about juries, and that is that they can vote not guilty and vote their conscience. They can say, this is nonsense. This law is stupid. This man shouldn't have been arrested. Not guilty. Doesn't matter what it says. So this guy even claims to know what jury nullification is.
Which is amazing.
About.
I mean, it means that you guys are doing a great job.
Sure. I mean, that's progress, right? But at the same time, and as you pointed out, Mark, it's easy to critique somebody who's on trial. It's much harder to actually be on trial. But one of the things I think Jim should have done in his closing statement, which he kept real short, and we're talking about the amount of time that Jim took to present his case. He only called one witness when he could have called more of us. Yeah. We were in the courtroom there. We would have been happy to come up there. Now, I understand he would have had to put us in advance on his witness list, but I would have had no problem doing that.
Well, not necessarily. If you're doing a direct rebuttal to a testimony, which is like the guy effectively, and I thought the guy saying that he effectively communicated for us to leave, I could go up there and testify. Absolutely not. All I saw was his lips moving, and I didn't know what he was saying.
Yeah.
Well, it's my understanding they want a list of witnesses in advance, but I'm not a lawyer, so
right.
I don't know
well,
how
I
mean, that works.
I heard that's true, but I heard that if it's a direct rebuttal to a witness's testimony, like that guy's testimony,
interesting.
Then you can call someone suddenly.
So,
but that's under the judge's approval. The judge would have to say, yes, I think I consider that. He could explain to him, this is what he's going to testify to. It's in direct rebuttal. That's all he's going to testify to. He's not going to introduce any new evidence and so on.
Either way, having more people would have given a bit of variety as far as people who were rebutting what the state cops would say.
Right.
Even though none of us are wearing a uniform with a badge, so therefore we wouldn't have that magical statist legitimacy credibility factor that the cops seem to have. So
to some extent, a lot of I think what swayed it was there's so many witnesses all saying he shouted it across the mountaintops for them to leave when he didn't, of course, but there were several cops saying that.
Right.
And then one witness saying, nope, I didn't hear him. And they were thinking, well, he might not have been as close as Jim was or something.
And then the very end during his closing statement, he could have brought up jury nullification at that point. He kind of touched on it in his opening statement. So I had hoped it was going to be an integral part of his case. It ended up not being. He kind of just really closed down his closing statement very quickly.
Yeah.
And
nothing to it. I mean, just...
and wrapped it up in the hopes, I think, that the quickness would help the jury and, like, get them to appreciate that he was just trying to get this over.
You know, I understand his approach because all through it I felt like the prosecution was being really ridiculous and Jim seemed, like, really rational. Maybe I'm just really biased.
No, it's
very
possible.
Should point out. But he seemed very calm and rational and not wasting time, whereas the prosecution seemed to be using this shotgun smokescreen approach.
We should point out that the prosecution, before Jim waived, that he made a stipulation that I was there or something, that he in fact was there or something like that, this guy had just reams of questions for this one dude and was going to ask that for the four other witnesses that he had. This would have been a 3 or 4 day trial.
It's crazy.
No doubt this would have been. And, was that good or bad? I can tell you I wouldn't have been there for all 4 days. It would have been a marathon.
So you can tell that this juror is not proud of what he did. I mean, just kind of by his body language and he's looking down in many cases when he's answering these questions. And again,
he was very reluctant to answer when they had the person, one person who was the foreman of the jury. He announced that they had to come to the conclusion of guilty, and then they asked if everyone agreed. I saw he was closest to us, the one you interviewed, and he was very reluctant to answer. He kind of, like you said, looked down, and then eventually was like, that's the impression I got. Because he was sitting close to us.
So even though he knew about nullification, he still went ahead and found him.
But I hate to beat up on this guy who seemed like one of the more reasonable ones in the group.
No, he's a nice guy, no doubt. I mean, he took the time to talk to us. But exactly. We're just pointing, I don't feel like we're beating up on him. We're just making observations about things he says here in this interview that are self-contradictory, that he may not even realize until later. Maybe he'll be in bed tonight and thinking about what he said and what he was thinking, and maybe he'll come to the conclusion on his own that, man, what have I done? Anyway, we'll continue.
Walking around the jail, that felt like...
I gave a lot of thought to this. I don't think you should have been arrested in the first place, to be perfectly honest with you. But when you look at the letter of the law, I do believe that the officer at the prison communicated the order to leave personally. And that order was violated. So by letter of law, he was guilty, and I was... It's...
Were you one of the holdouts?
Excuse me, no, I was not, but...
He was not one of the four.
He was actually one of the people who thought he was guilty.
Correct. Right out the gate, this guy thought he was... At the end of the day on Thursday, this guy was one of the eight who was four guilty.
And I'd like to point out that, that the power of the other people's dispositions of their cases, I think, would have really swayed this jury. Hey, look, there's nine people on trial here. This is the last one, and they've all been found guilty or not guilty or guilty of lesser charges. What do you guys think?
All right, there's more coming up here. There's more of this interview. We'll play the rest of it coming up in hour two, and you can take control as well. Bring up anything you want at 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
The Ruger LC9, compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP, features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed, high-visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.